Okay, well, we've been talking about a journey that God's wanting us to go on together. This picture, the equipping track, is about helping people to engage God, come into an intimate personal relationship with him, to know his presence and the manifest presence that he has with us. Also, to engage our destiny and what God has called us to do as individuals, and together our corporate destiny, and all the freedom ministries, Live Busting and other ministries, to set people free from whatever is hindering and blocking us fulfilling the purpose of God for our lives. And so we are going to look to introduce this over the next year or so. But over the next period of time, we're going to begin from the beginning and really look at this journey that God's calling us on together. And we're going to go into preparation, is what we're doing today. So on this journey, it's an adventure. There are two pathways that we're going to follow. The pathway of relationship, which leads to deeper intimacy with God, and the pathway of responsibility that leads to greater kingdom rulership, that we can rule both here and in the realms of heaven. And we're going to go through that and explain it. 2 Corinthians 4:18, Paul was saying, so we fix our eyes. Now, was he talking about his natural eyes? Was he talking about his spiritual eyes? Was he talking about the eyes of his heart? Well, it just says eyes. But the reality is, on what is not seen. We don't fix our eyes on what is seen. So this physical realm, we look at with our natural physical eyes. But actually, we fix our eyes on what is unseen. So there's another realm, a spiritual realm, that we can't see with our natural eyes, but we can see with the eyes of our spirit. And that which is seen is temporary. In other words, when Jesus returns, this whole realm is going to be completely renewed, and we're going to have a whole new heaven and earth and a new age to come. But the eternal realm is the realm that we're focusing on. And so there is a physical realm, there's an unseen spiritual realm all around us right now, and there's an eternal heavenly realm, which is the real realm which keeps all this going. So both these pathways, we're going to engage in that unseen spiritual realm around us, and we're going to engage in the realm of heaven. And the purpose of doing this is so that we can be transformed, our lives and what we're doing, into the image of Jesus, because we're given responsibility for the whole of creation. The whole of what God created, he's given us responsibility to bring it back into its original purpose before Satan messed it up. Judges 6:12 says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him, that was talking to Gideon, and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty warrior of fearless courage. Now, Gideon was hiding at the time in the wine press, and he considered himself the least in his family, and he considered his family the least in the nation of Israel. But an angel had a bigger picture, because he was sent by God, and he called him what his true identity really is. And his true identity was a warrior, a mighty warrior, with fearless courage. Now, you don't need fearless courage unless you're going to face something that is going to cause you potentially to be fearful. So we're going on a journey in which we're going to challenge things, we're going to engage things which in one sense could make us fearful, but God has called us, whether you feel it or not, or whether you believe it or not, your true identity is in that relationship with God. God sees you as a mighty warrior. He sees you as one who has a destiny in him to fulfill. So an angel came. So angels and other spiritual beings, because angel is just a generic term for lots of spiritual beings, are part of the unseen realm. So there are angels here now. You all have guardian angels that are with you. Now, when you learn to see in the realm of the spirit, you can see them. And so I can, if I switch on that, I can see those things that are going on here now. Angels engaged Abraham, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, Gideon, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Zechariah, and a whole host of others. Angels were really important because God sent them to engage with people. In the New Testament, angels engaged with Mary and Joseph and Jesus, Peter, Paul, John, and many of the other disciples. You see, if Peter and Paul didn't engage with angels, they would have remained in prison when the angels came to set them free. But they learned to engage with the angelic realm, knowing that God had sent those angels as messengers and with a mission to help them. So it's important on this journey that we understand that angels and the angelic realm and the unseen realm is a key that we will need to learn to engage in. Job 38:4 says, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth?" So God is talking to Job. "When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." So the angelic realm were already created before God created the earth. And they were there seeing the awesome things that God did. So God created the spiritual realm first. There we go. Hebrews 11:3. "By faith we understand that the worlds," so worlds plural, everything of creation, "were prepared by the word of God." So God spoke it into being. Now technically, we know that's how everything started. People call it a big bang. But God spoke and everything burst into life. So he says, it says in this verse, "so that what is seen," so what we see now is physical matter, "came out of energy." The energy that was contained in the thoughts of God that he spoke into existence. So what was made out of things which are not visible. So everything comes out of a realm which is not visible to our natural eyes, but still exists and is just as real as this realm. And we can engage in that realm. Hebrews 1:7 says, "Of angels," he says, "who makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire." So they are described there as winds and flames of fire, but they're described as ministers. And ministers are those who serve. To minister is to serve. So they serve God, and they're winds and flames of fire, as many other things as well. Hebrews 1:14 says this, "Are they not," talking of angels, "all ministering spirits," so angels are spiritual beings, "sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation." That's us. So angels are sent by God to help us, to minister to us and for us and with us. They want to be involved. Most of us have never met our angels, if you think of the church worldwide. Now, I know a lot of people here have, because we've encouraged people to engage in that. But those who will inherit salvation, therefore those who are not yet Christians, God still has angels with them to help them find salvation. For those who have received salvation, they're there to help and serve us. Psalm 91:11, "For he," talking about God, "commands his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways." They are sent by God to guard, to protect, to help us. That's why you get the term guardian angels. God sent them for us. So there are guardian angels, archangels, seraphim, cherubim, living creatures, seven spirits of God, dominions, virtues, powers, authorities, principalities or rulers. All those are describing angelic or spiritual beings. There are 10 angelic classes or spiritual beings that I'm aware of. Chaoth, Ophanim, Erelim, Kashmilim, Seraphim, Malachim, Elohim, Ben-El, Elohim, Cherubim, and Ishim. And some of them you really don't want to mess with because they're pretty powerful beings. And yet, we are made higher than them. So they're there to serve us, even though sometimes they can be pretty terrifying. Particularly those who come as warrior angels. There are many other names in relation to angels that are in relation to their tasks, e.g. the watcher angels, and there are loads of others that I've talked to you before about on that. And there's a whole list of where those are found in Scripture and the Scriptures that go with it, if you want to look at them later. In Revelation 5:11, it talks about 100 million of each of those classes. So there's a lot of them. And those are just the canopy of angels. That's not all the other angels aside that. So there's a lot of angels. If you think of angels being associated with the different stars that are out there in the galaxy, you know, there are something like 400 billion galaxies. So there's a lot of stars and there are a lot of angels. And we get two-thirds of them on our side, and the enemy only has a third on his side. So we got the majority that are working with us. There are 283 references to angels in the Bible. You might be surprised to hear that 107 are in the Old Testament and 176 in the New. Because a lot of people say, oh, angels, that's just in the Old Testament. Actually, the reality is there's more references in the New Testament than there are in the Old. And so God actually wants us to engage. There are 1,000 or more references to angels, including their names in the Bible. The term derived angel in the Greek is angelos, which means messenger. And in the Hebrew, the equivalent is malak, which also means messenger. So generally, they're associated with messengers. Another term is Elohim, the strong one, which is also a name of God, but is sometimes also translated angels. So where an angel appears, the main description is the task or the message they convey when they come to do the will of God. Because God has sent them to do certain things. So the focus is usually on what they do rather than what they look like. So we don't get detailed descriptions of most of the angels. There are some specific ones like cherubim, seraphim, and the four living creatures and others that are specific things, but not generally. Most don't describe wings, by the way. Yeah, we tend to have this picture that angels have all got wings. Some of them have. Some of the ones that are described have got wings, but a lot of them don't. In Hebrews, it says, be careful that you are hospitable because you may well engage in it with angels unawares. So they can look like human beings. And many people have had picked up hitchhikers and things like that that have been in their car and have talked to them and then disappeared from their car. So we need to be aware that angels come in many shapes and forms. Some appear physically in this realm. Some are in the spiritual atmosphere and the unseen realm around us, so we can tune in and see them with the eyes of our heart or the eyes of our spirit. But also some appeared in visions and dreams. And there are lots of different ways. And I've got two tables there, which again you can look at later, which describe many angelic appearances and whether they were physical or in dreams or in visions. Another set of terms about angels was describe those that are around the throne of God and those that are in heaven, his heavenly entourage, if you like. Such terms as the sons of God, holy ones, heavenly host. And that focuses on those angels being celestial or heavenly beings. Some get to come down here and do stuff, and others are assigned there, and their main focus is around the throne of God. Now, some of them worship God. They're the ones that sing holy, 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 and they're singing praise, worship to God around his throne all the time. They attend his throne. Some of them comprise the army of God, and there are descriptions of Jesus on a white horse with armies of angels around him. And some operate in his courts. There are court systems in heaven where angels are involved in those courts and we can engage with them there, particularly the court of angels, where we can get angels assigned to our destiny and to mandates that we're given. So those terms are typically in the context of praise, of grandeur, the power and the acts of God, which a lot of things we see. So in the unseen realm, there is also the cloud of witnesses. Now this is often a bit of a controversial subject because people seem to think of the cloud of witnesses as ghosts. They're not ghosts. They are just, as it says in Hebrews 1, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. They're all surrounding us. Cloud, not crowd. Because I think some people think it says crowd, but it says cloud. They're a cloud. Jesus went from this earth back into heaven in a cloud. Same cloud. And he'll come back in a cloud. And we will be also part of that cloud of witnesses when he comes back. But for now, there are a whole load who are the spirits of believers, and they comprise the church in heaven. Because there's a heavenly and an earthly expression of church. So in heaven, there is a church comprised of those cloud of witnesses. Now we have 12 who've been assigned to us specifically to help, and they trade into what they see on earth of their mantles and the things that they did in the past. and we are learning how to engage with them. Hebrews 12:18 says this, "For you have not come to a mountain that can be touched." In the Old Testament, they came to a physical mountain called Mount Sinai that God came down on the top in a big cloud with fire and smoke. But they were afraid to touch it. But now it says, you have come to Mount Zion. Mount Zion is the mountain or the house of God in heaven. And to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, and to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. So we can touch all of those. We can engage with all of those. And then it says, to God, and the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous men made perfect, who are the men in white linen who are part of that cloud of witnesses. So we can engage with them. This scripture tells us we can. So there's no need to be afraid of that. There's no need to think, oh, we can't touch that because they're ghosts. They're not ghosts. They are spirits that have gone back into heaven, and they are there with Jesus now. And we can engage with Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. We're in a new relationship with God that we can engage him with. So we can come and touch all those things, which is really important. Now, when it comes to angels, there's a load of things which and illustrations of angels which are really not really what angels actually are. It's like that sort of picture. Now, I've never seen an angel that really looked like that. That's supposed to be one of the guardian angels. Now, that's another little picture of an angel. I've never seen an angel look like that either. But that's the general illustration to make them seem nice, cute little cherubim. The cherubim are not nice and cute like that. They covered the throne of God. Satan was one of them when he was Lucifer. But there are others that cover the throne of God now. That is a picture of what is before the throne of God. Four living creatures. And the elders and all those around the throne of God. Warrior angels. That's often what I would see some of the angels looking like. Warrior angels carrying fiery swords. There, this description with the four faces of God, which you find in Ezekiel chapter 1, with six wings. Another picture of that, with the different faces of God, which the angels represented. That is a picture which represents and looks like one of my personal angels that minister with me, which is a white winged horse. I think Alice has an angel which is called, is it Norman? Who happens to be a dog? Vincent. He's a dog. Now you think, well, isn't that really weird? Well, there are billions of angels and they come in all shapes and sizes because they want us to engage with them, and they will appear in different things to help us engage. That is what one of my other angels looks like, who is a warrior angel. He's pretty fierce looking, you know. Now, I've seen angels that look like fiery horses. The seraphim, who are the burning ones, who bring coals from the presence of God in the temple of God. There are some that look like colors and floating things, like Kashmilim, who love worship, and they bring ribbons of color. Sometimes when you close your eyes in worship, you catch glimpses of those colours in the corner of your eye. Sometimes when we learn to fix our focus on them, we can see them more clearly. Pillars of fire. You know, we've had pillars of fire appear here in this realm of the spirit, because some of those are actual angels. Whirlwinds of fire, they're also called. The wheels within wheels, the power sources. They carry the throne of God around. You know, children of Israel were led by a pillar of fire for 40 years in the wilderness. So angels can appear in many different ways. The fiery sword that protected the garden that God created for man, when they were expelled, the cherubim and the fiery sword protected that. The angels didn't carry the fiery sword. It was a creature, an angelic creature, which was there. Now, often, we have portals open that angels come through. Now, in some places, they leave feathers behind. And in certain meetings, people see feathers coming down through the ceiling and different things. Now, I think it was Alice who asked, or someone asked, I think, this week. Sorry, Alice. Why don't we see feathers here? And I think the answer was, well, you see angels. Why do you need to see feathers? Sometimes those things are proofs through people who are skeptical, whereas actually we believe in angels and we believe in angels coming. So there is a whole host of angels that are around Jesus in the court of angels. There are legions of angels. Jesus actually had 12 legions of angels at his disposal, which was something around 8,000 angels at his disposal that would come if he wanted and God would dispatch. Now, we have four angels who have been released here to help us on this journey. They're here to herald a new season and to guide us on this journey and help us. Four angels are the angel of transformation, winds of change, sound of many waters, and refining fire. So it's really important that we learn how to engage with them, receive the revelation in the ministry that God has sent them to release to us. Because it's important when God sends an angel that we tune in and find out why they're here. Someone prophesied that we will be a landing strip for angels. And so angels do come regularly. If you see one, ask them why they've come. If you sense one, ask them why they've come. Because they will have come for a purpose, so it's important we engage with them. Now, I want to share a prophetic word that came and was released at the end of last year, in December, that I've just spoken briefly about, but I want to talk to you today about it and read the prophetic word out, because it actually describes those four angels and what they were to do. And this was the start of this prophetic word. God speaks of great shakings through wind, severe rain, storms in specific areas of the nations of the world, targeted by heaven for a massive movement of the Spirit of God. Now, I think you will agree we saw a lot of rain this year and storms. Watch in 2014 where the earth shakes and where unusual weather breaks out. For there God is allowing a sign to show where he is moving at this time in the most unusual and stormy ways. And again, we had an earthquake off the coast here this year, which is very, very unusual. So I take this word seriously. A memo from heaven was delivered by an angel. And on this memo, it said, fire, wind, shaking, transformation. Fire, a heart of fire and passion. Every time I spoke or wrote the words of the memo, a revelatory meaning was etched by holy fire and burned into my heart. God revealed his motivation. He wants to share his first desire of his passionate love to all the people of the world that he sent his son Jesus to transform. The Lord told me the fire of my desire is to see my people restored to my heart. That's what these angels are coming to herald. Wind. The vision of flowing letters in the word wind on the memo is forever etched in my heart. Each letter blew as if by a strong wind released from the Holy Spirit during the Angel of Transformation's visit. God highlighted wind to me as ruach, which is a word meaning the breath of his spirit, wanting again to breathe his refreshing spirit and new life into all lost or discouraged hearts. Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living being. Winds of his glory, the Lord emphasized to me that his breath the Holy Spirit is more than enough wind of transformation to turn this nation back to his heart now. We must experience and activate the Holy Spirit's breath of anointing to release God's holy breath of love to the many hurting people. So what we receive, we release. As these people realize what has been missing in their lives, they will begin to be led by the Spirit of God and will be prepared to receive the transforming breath of God's Spirit. The Lord reminded me of the prophet Ezekiel's vision of the valley of dry bones in Ezekiel 37:5. Thus saith the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you and you may come back to life. And they became a mighty army. Part of the limping body of Christ has been breathing in the toxic breath of the enemy's lies for too long. We decree these deceptive toxins purged and cleansed from the body of Christ in Jesus' name. Today, filled with the powerful breath of the Spirit of the living God, we decree the transforming power of Christ's life and breath to faint-hearted, discouraged, or lost people. Shaking. In a vision, the word shaking came clearly again to me, reminding me of the verses, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, once in a little while I am going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea also and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, and they will come with the wealth of all nations, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts." Haggai 2:6-7. Talking about a shaking that's coming. It's also mentioned in Hebrews chapter 12. The shaking that's coming, which is to shake people out of complacency. When I read this passage, the wind of anointing started shaking and reverberating in my heart. I can literally feel the Father's heart beat in concert with his desire to bring people in relationship with himself. It will be the most powerful awakening move of God people have ever experienced. Rather than allowing a flood again like the one that destroyed all living creatures, this time God is using his word to shake the nations back to him. God is fulfilling his heart's desire for his people to seek intimate fellowship with him. More people will come home to the Father by a massive acceptance of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. This shaking will not be stopped by carnally minded people or the enemy's deception. This shaking will shock our hearts back into perfect rhythm with our Creator. The entire world has already experienced much unpleasant shaking. The shaking soon will become an earthquake of the Father's wind of the Spirit. It will shake the world, the whole world, to its knees for completely repentant hearts to be turned back to our God. Transformation. The Lord etched into my heart that his desire was to restore that which was lost and to have his people become transformed into the image like pure gold. We must focus upon the desire of God's heart and leave our humanistic thinking and carnal minds out of the equation. Consuming glory, Romans 12:2 in the New Living Translation says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect." This time, the awakening will cause a major worldwide global transformation, and many nations will begin to turn to the Lord in a single day. The Father's word, transformation, highlighted the sparkling new heavenly gold that I'd seen in the memo from the transformation angel. This beyond earthly pure gold hue represents totally changed hearts turned back to the Father that were purified and freed from any defects of this world. As I pondered this word, transformation, the Father spoke gently to my heart, and he's given us the ability not only to be free from all sin, but also to move us into the continual purification growth process of being transformed into his image, a smelting process that takes each of us into a new level of being transformed from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18. "But we all, with an unveiled face, behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord." That means you're looking at yourself and seeing how God sees you. "Are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Lord, from the Lord, the Spirit." So all of us with removed veils, that means the blindness that's been on our eyes, to be able to see into the realm of the Spirit and be able to see what God is wanting to show us is being removed. So the veils between heaven and earth are thinning so that we are able to engage. And many of us are stepping into those realms. So all of us with removed veils through the blood of Jesus can see it and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we're continually being transformed, changed into his glorious image. The Lord wants the redeemed followers of Jesus to become mature in the refiner's fire, so that we offer his love to those desperate for true love, that they will see through our lives the image of our Father, Abba Father, as we become fully engaged in our assignments. So this is a different kind of transformation. We've all had transformation in various bits, but God is wanting to turn the heat up. He's wanting to release greater dimensions of his spirit, of shaking, of power. This one is one like never before in history. I can still hear that piercing breath of God's voice penetrating my being with these words. As in the days of Esther, you, the bride of Christ, were changed to be a transformer for such a time as this. God is calling for people to come forth, manifested as sons of God, for such a time as this. It's transformation time. The Lord sent the angel of transformation to awaken us from our sleep, to give us the message of activation for our lives, to genuinely change, transform us into the image of the heart of our Father, for the entire world to desire him. As we adhere to our process, journey of becoming more like Jesus, then we offer that Messiah, that Jesus, to a hurting people, demonstrating the Father's righteousness is ours through all we've already accomplished, Jesus already accomplished for us. So we have a perfect love letter from heaven through Jesus, given to us because of the ultimate price he paid for our transformation. In other words, Jesus did it for us already on the cross. In this love letter is the wind of the anointing of the Father now blowing a fresh message of his heart of holy fire. The shaking by God's word is from his heart to ours, so we can become transformed into his image and begin to be true messengers of the ministry of reconciliation. Today is the transforming day of salvation. It is our time to be transformed. Let God use us to transform our family, our nation, the world. It's transformation time. So we have four angels. Transformation, winds of change, refining fire, sound of many waters. We can engage those angels today. God wants us to engage them because God is going to minister to them through you. And he's going to minister through you what you receive from those angels. The question is, do you want change in your life? What change do you want? Because if you're going to engage with the angel of transformation, you better know what you want changed. Is that desire for change born out of the will of God and the purpose of God for you, or out of something you want for yourself? Because you need to know, it needs to come out of a pure heart. Transformation. Do you want to be transformed into the image of Jesus? Do you want your behavior changed? Do you want your thinking changed? Do you want to be transfigured to shine with glory? Winds of change. Do you want a new season in your life? Do you want a new season of blessing, joy, and peace? Do you want the authority and power to change and transform your circumstances? Those things that are around you that you stand in. Do you want to become a living being? Do you want to become a spirit being? Refining fire. Do you want greater passion for God, for your life and your destiny? Do you want to see God? Did you know it says who will see God? The pure in heart. Do you want your life to be purified and refined? Do you want all the chains restricting you to be destroyed? Sound of many waters. Do you want everything that's not of God's kingdom shaken out of your life? Do you want to resonate with the will of God? Because when this voice, this sound of many waters comes, it is to cause us to come into alignment, to resonate with him. The will that he releases in the frequency is voice. Do you want your body aligned with the frequency of heaven? Do you want health and wholeness? Because those frequencies bring us back into health and wholeness. Do you want your DNA transformed? Because those frequencies can actually transform us at a genetic level. Well, if you do, I want you to be open to engage that right now, because we're going to practice engaging with that spiritual realm. So what I want you to do is to close your eyes. Now, as you close your eyes, just relax. Fix your mind and your thoughts on that unseen realm that's around you. For those of you who've engaged this way before, Just open the eyes of your heart and engage the screen of your imagination with that spiritual realm and those angels that are here this morning. You may see pictures, you may have visions, you may have thoughts that come to you, you may have impressions, feelings in your mind. Just engage your imagination with those four angels. For those of you who know how to open the eyes of your spirit to see in that realm, just begin to engage with those angels. By faith, engage one of those four angels right now. Transformation is at the front on my left. Just open your heart to the revelation of the truth that will renew your minds and change your lives. Winds of Change is on my right. Open your heart and let the breath of life fill you. The Refiner's Fire is at the back on my left. Open your heart for passion, purification, for the chains to be destroyed around your life. And the Sound of Many Waters is at the back on my right. Just open your heart to that vibrating frequency of the voice of God to resonate your eternal destiny in you. Just engage. Let your spirit and the eyes of your heart engage with those angels. Be open to what they receive, what they touch you with, as we just wait in that presence. Those of you who find it slightly difficult to engage, just relax with your eyes closed. Those angels are blowing trumpets. They're heralding a new season for your life right now. Just allow that sound just to flow over you. Let the sound of the trumpet resonate over you, bringing you into an alignment with heaven and with your destiny. If you've never met Jesus personally, you've never encountered him in your spirit, you can open your spirit to him now. And just as Jesus is saying to you, come and follow me, you can make a decision to follow him, to become his disciple, to bring you into a new dimension of relationship with God. Open up your heart to him. See him coming to you, embracing you, filling you with the breath of his spirit, and coming to live within you, making your house, your life, a home for him. Just let the frequency, the sound of the vibration of the trumpets that are blowing, the sound that's being released from heaven today, let it touch every fiber, every atom of your being. Let it begin to vibrate and change you, transform you. Let it touch you afresh, a new way. There are seraphim here standing with the refining fire angel that have coals from the altar of the temple of heaven to purify and cauterize areas of your life that you want changed. The engagement with these angels is not a one-off. They are assigned to us. We can engage with them each week. You can engage with them during the week in your lives. Just by faith, open up your heart to engage. Allow your spirit to be refreshed, to be refined, to be renewed. Just allow God to touch you in new and fresh ways. As we go on this journey together, these angels are there to help us along the way. Okay. Now, as we go on into a time of worship together, just again be open to engage with the angelic realm. As we worship, angels love to gather. They come sometimes through the banners and the colors and the flags that get waved. They come in different ways. But let's look into that unseen realm, because that unseen realm is where our help comes from. It's like it says, you know, where does our help come from? We lift up our eyes to the hills, talking about the mounting of God, where he dispatches angels to help us. Okay? All right.